praise you and we worship you. We thank you and we give you all the glory because you are worthy. Join with me in our scriptural affirmation today from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It starts at the 9th verse. Then began he to speak to the people this parable.
A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to a husbandman and went into a far country for a long time.
And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out.
Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son, and it may be that they will reverence him when they see him.
But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.
So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them?
He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.
And then the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them.
Lord, help us today hear you. Help us today know you. Help us today worship you. Help us today because we need you. So today we surrender ourselves. We as a corporate group humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that in due time you will exalt us. So Lord, have your way. As we worship you, as we praise you, as we listen to your word, as we obey, help us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The fiber of our being praise you. May every thought praise you. May every action praise you. May we praise you because you're worthy. May we praise you because you're good. May we praise you because you deserve it. May we praise you because you inhabit the praises of your people. May we praise you. Praise him because he is worthy. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him in the evening. Praise him all night long. He's worthy to be praised. He's good, and there's none like him. We ought to praise him because he's God. We ought to praise him because he voices to praise him. Praise the Father. Some are disconcerted by the praise of God because of what it will do to their station, what it will do to their life, how it will affect them. If you become a radical praise warrior, how would that change your life? How would that change the people around you and the way that they perceived you? What would you do? That's what we're going to think about today as we go into this scripture in the 20th chapter of Luke. 20, starting at verse 9. The scene is that Jesus was teaching people in the temple, and various people were overhearing all of this. He preached the gospel, and that's the good news of the kingdom, especially in this particular case. The fact that the kingdom has come, the fact that he is there, the fact that things are forever changed because Jesus is on the scene. The chief priests and scribes, they came up and they were listening to all of this, and they were frustrated with the whole thing, wondering where he got his authority from. They were afraid that if he took authority, he would take their place, that they wouldn't have the power that they once had. And so it's going through all of this, and verse 9, he begins to speak to the people this parable, and this is after they wouldn't dare say where his authority might have come from. Then began he to speak the parable to the people, this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. Parables are interesting things. It's not necessarily a one-on-one correlation with each parable to all of the parts of it, but it's interesting. This one came along who owned it all. He owned the vineyard. It was his vineyard. And he allowed these husbandmen to have control of that vineyard, supposing that at a certain point in time, the vineyard would be given to him and it will have been properly worked and there would be reward. And so he'd given this vineyard, and he led it forth to husbandmen, and he went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. He sent his prophets, and the prophets were, hey, this is how we should be doing this thing. Oh, get out of our lives. Verse 11, and again he sent another servant. And they beat him also. Wow. And entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. Not only did they beat him, they shamed him. Remind you of the time that David sent to another king and just wanted to greet him. And the other king thought David was trying to move in on his territory, so he shamed the emissaries by shaving their beard and stripping them down. I wonder how often we think that someone is encroaching on our space, encroaching on our stuff, encroaching on our authority, encroaching on our understanding of things. And again he sent, verse 12, a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. They wounded him. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? They have a beat, wounded, shamed, those representing me. What do you think I should do? I'll tell you what. See, now, if it had been me, well, there would be war. But you really wouldn't be able to call it war because it would have been such a just a trouncing. There would be scorched earth policy. But no. This is a patient guy. He's patient. He cares. And so I will send my beloved son. They've hurt my people, but when they know for sure that it's my son, they're going to act right, and they're going to go, oh, what have we done? So he sends a son that he loved, his unique son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him, but when the husbandman saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. I had to stop and think about this a lot. In fact, it really took me a long time to understand, what are you saying, Lord? I understand that there's no one-to-one correlation, but what is this that people want to take the inheritance? What's that saying? You see, there are people, I believe, that understand that there's a God. They intellectually, they get it. The Bible tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day utter a speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I mean, they know it. They get it. They see it all around them, that there has to be something other than themselves. But in that process, they make a conscious decision. In that process, they make a conscious decision to say, no, I'm going to be God in my world. I'm going to let the things that I want to control my life. I'm going to let the things that I want to rule me, not this God. I can do this thing. We can do this thing. I can get enough money. I can get enough pleasure. I can get enough that I don't need this God. In fact, this God, if I would listen to him, he's going to make me somehow have less than. He's going to make me somehow have not all that I want. He's going to Serving him's going to be weird, and I don't want to be weird. Serving him's going to be strange, and there's enough strange stuff out of there. I have made what I think is my world and how it should look, and so I want to live in that fantasy, and I refuse to bow my heart to the King of Kings. I refuse to bow my heart to the one who crawled up on the cross for me and died. I refuse to bow my heart. Have you bowed your heart today? Have you given in to him? Have you submitted yourself to him? Have you realized that there really is a God? Because I think these people knew that there was someone who was in charge. They knew that there was someone who owned it all. They knew that they weren't that person. But they said, you know what? I think I can control all of this if I just ignore, if I just send away the one called the Son. If I can get rid of the one called the Son. You know, some people just, they get mad when you talk about Jesus. You know, you could talk about spirituality, and maybe you could talk a little bit about God, but Jesus? Oh my. Verse 15. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Obvious parallels with the fact that they took Jesus to a place outside of the city after recognizing he had done great stuff, after recognizing that he filled the bill of all the things of what a coming Messiah should fill, except, of course, he hadn't died. So they were going to make sure. So they killed him. And he died. You know, he died on the cross so that we could be free. He died on the cross so that my sin could be paid for. He died on the cross so your transgressions could be overlooked. He died on the cross to wash away the guilt that so easily strangles the life out of us. He died. They killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Now remember, this is Jesus telling a parable to people who are starting to get who they are in this story. And he says, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyards to others. Here the leaders of Israel are hearing this. He's going to destroy us and he's going to give away our nation, our stuff, to someone else. And they couldn't contain themselves. When they heard it, they said, God forbid. How could that happen? How could that? Whoa! That can't be. And they're saying, he might be able to pull that off. No, we can't have that. God forbid. And he beheld them, he looked at them, realizing that the truth is dawning on them. And he looked at them and he said, what is this then that is written? Let's go to scripture, because maybe you'll understand that way. Let's go to scripture. What's written? The stone which the builders rejected. I'm that stone. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Cornerstones are very important, especially in ancient building. And it's an amazing thing. A cornerstone becomes the focus of the weight. A cornerstone becomes the thing that holds everything else together. As long as the cornerstone is in place, the building will stand unbelievable winds and everything, but the cornerstone is usually substantial. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. You ever fall in the parking lot or fall in a place where there's lots of stones. You're all scratched up. It hurts. But listen to this. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Imagine something falling on you that will grind you to powder. Won't even be able to tell what you are. Grind you to powder. Where are you with God today? Are you among those that recognize that there is a God? You kind of go through some of the religious motions. You go through some of the stuff out there. You go through that. But if the truth be told, you still want to make your own world. You still want to devise your own way of doing things. You still want to worship what you want to worship and care for what you want to care for. Are you there? Are you at a place where you kind of acknowledge that there's God? You see, sometimes I think people that are truly, truly lost know that they're messed up. That they might be in a better place than others, because people that are know that they're lost, when they hear the word of God, they know that they can be liberated, they can be free, they can be celebrating, because it is so wonderful to know that there's a way for them to escape the chains that have them bound. But when your chains are silk cords and they kind of feel good and they kind of make you think that you've got something when you really have nothing, because the nothing of value has you, you may not know you need to be free. You may not know that you are really stuck. You are really stuck if you're just going through the motions. You are stuck. And you need to be delivered. These people, they had a concept of what they wanted to do. They had spent their lives. And see, I actually have real compassion and empathy, because they'd spent their lives building this religious empire. They had spent their lives learning the Torah. They had spent their lives trying to be right. And they thought that they had something. And they thought that they were something. And here someone from outside comes in and tells them they needed to repent. They need to repent to be saved. And they're going, whoa, what are you saying? Repent? Me? Why do I have to change? I've tried so very hard. You know, it's frustrating. I know. Sometimes we think, I work so doggone hard, and now I've got to change? It just doesn't seem fair. No. It's not fair that your sin is so complete and so ugly that my Savior had to spill his blood so that you might have an opportunity to live if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, it's not fair. It's not fair that you think you deserve something. It's not fair. It's grace. 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 God's grace. So receive that grace today. Don't get stuck in the thinking you've earned your way into a place. Don't get stuck in the thinking you somehow deserve God's goodness. Every good thing comes from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no variableness nor a shadow of turning. Don't think you've earned it, but rejoice that it's available to you because he is good. He is able. He is willing. He is God. And today we bow to him or he falls on us. What do you want? Do you want to bow? Or do you want him to fall? I always laugh when we are doing praise, and in that praise we're saying, fall on us, Lord. Gently. Gently. Fill us, Lord. Change us. Where do you see yourself in these pictures from Scripture? Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me be the one of many that will surrender fully to you. You don't have to fall on me because I acknowledge that you are the head. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You have the right to receive everything. I give myself as a living sacrifice. I allow you to do what you want to do. I live my life in such a way that people glorify your name. Have your way. Thank you, Lord, for saving. For saving all those who will call upon your name, all those who will heed your initiation of their salvation. We surrender ourselves to you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's your day.